This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, everyone. Now we have folks here. I'll call this meeting to order. It's 12. I'm going to say 19. We'll be oddly exact in that sense. Are there any other late additions to the agenda? No, hooray. Okay, moving on to approval of the minutes. The minutes from the 18th. Any other corrections, additions to those minutes there? All right, could I see a motion to approve those minutes? Is there a second? Great. I'm going to move to approve those by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent on approving these minutes? Hooray. So we'll see those minutes approved for November the 18th. All right, moving on to business of the day. Three main things. A report from Hazel on the care committee and the current option results. Some resolutions for consideration, and I kind of want to use this as here's some resolutions that are finished, presented, so we can kind of go over the resolution process for those of you that are relatively new to this, so then hopefully this will encourage other ideas that you have that we can present as resolutions later. And then finally for business of the day, going over the survey results that Tanya has as well too. So apparently we've got some interesting stuff there. And then finally, filling in some vacancies and the executive vice chair election process that'll be for my report at the end. Before we go into all that though, as you all know, Greg has departed us for other job opportunities. And to fill in that seat from our last election, I'd like to introduce Liz, who you all remember, and she'll be filling that seat. So, hello, Liz. He did get his cupcakes. Yeah, we got him his Batman cupcake and all that stuff as well, too. Liz, I don't know if you want to just say a few words at all about where you are. Some folks weren't at the election meeting as well.
So I'm Liz O'Dell Wheeling. I'm with the reunion team, part of the annual fund with AA&D, and I'm currently managing three classes of volunteers and a portfolio of prospects. And the 65-pound elephant is Buttercup, and she's clearly ferocious. So if you need a dog fix, just let me know.
Thanks, Liz, and welcome. So nice to see you here. All right, so moving on to the report from the care committee, I'll turn over to Hazel.
I just wanted to update some of the things with the CARE Fund. Since January 15th of 2015, the committee has awarded $18,640. The CARE Fund auction had over 300 bidders, and we raised $7,400.
I do not know.
I have no idea.
You can find the answer.
You know, I can find out for you.
How is this compared to other years at all? Relatively similar things, other things that are happening around the area?
I think the auction went really well. There's a lot of hardship. I think that the applications have gone up a great deal.
I believe there's some like confidentiality to that too, but do you see some trends in what some of the hardships are that folks are facing in the area, things that could potentially help with?
Well, of course, flooding that we had, you know, that affected a lot of employees. Some domestic violence, there's some addiction to homes, there's a whole.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, thank you for your work with that, Hazel, and the care committee. Any other questions for Hazel from everyone else? All right, so let's switch into the resolutions we have for consideration here.
Bring these up, and I'll let Elizabeth introduce these. But again, what I want to do is show these have been written up, and I'm very fond of saying the resolutions are one of the few official forms of communication that we have. So very official instructions given to us.
Thank you.
And it's one way that we can officially debate things that come up. And so I think as a body of us, we typically have issues brought to us and we discuss them here, but it's kind of just in conversation. And so the resolution is an official stance that we can provide an official response. I would like us to start moving towards this so we can sort of release some of the things that we do versus, I think, we do good work here, but then it tends to die. So there's no official response on it. So Elizabeth has been working on some of these and asked me today, and I thought it was a good way to kind of show how this process works, outlining how we came about finding this issue, is the word I'll use there, and kind of drafting the section. So the whereas clauses and the be it therefore resolve clauses as well. So that's an introduction. I guess I'll let Elizabeth introduce this.
Sure. So there are three things. So, but unlike, I'm going to disagree with DJ just a little bit. These are not finished. They are not necessarily ready to be voted, presented. The goal is really, these are items that were brought to me, or that have come up through other things that we've been working on, and we wanted to bring it to the assembly because you are a stakeholder group, a group that's responsible for representing all these folks, and you all could essentially work on these together. So the asks that are there in the resolve clauses may not be the ultimate asks that come from this assembly. They are up, all of this is up for debate, discussion, editing, that type of thing. And all of them could benefit from additional research. I've simply given you kind of the template to put it down on paper and try to organize the ideas, but it's really the final product that's going to be up to you all. This first one, which is really about marital status, support benefits and services. So this actually came as a result of, I think last year there was a few individuals who were going through divorce at the time, and they were seeking assistance from DIWD, and they were calling DIWD, or my Department of Inclusion and Workforce Diversity, and a couple of other places for to see what other resources were available to them. And it turned out that it was very hard to actually locate all of the things that were available. We know there are things that are present at the university. There's good legal insurance that is here. There are mediation services and all types of things that are available, but it was hard to find them in one place, especially if you're going through crisis. We tried to refer these individuals to FSAP. For reasons unknown to me, FSAP called me back and was like, we don't know what this is. Like, we don't know where these things are.
FSAP is the Faculty Staff Assistance Program.
Those folks just kind of didn't know where to look for it. If you've seen the Human Resources website, it is a little convoluted and difficult to locate things, and that is undergoing a change. It's under construction. That will be launched sometime next year. So hopefully the goal is to make sure that all this stuff comes into one place. So this is asking, in particular, people are going through significant life changes. This is twofold. It's not just when you're going through it, but it's also, we have to understand that, again, the demographics are going to be shifting for our faculty and staff both in the coming years based on who's going to start retiring and leaving. And so as we're looking to recruit new people, one of the things we've been discussing extensively is, are we going to actually have safety nets and support services that are available and easily accessible to people to at least know that these things are available if they're applying to work here? This is coupled with what you all found on the employee survey that you all cite quite often about people's satisfaction with the university being kind of responsive to their needs in the workplace and work-life balances and things like that. So we were really just trying to hone in on this particular area. So we've been looking at like a lot of best practices in the corporate world just to kind of see what types of things they were offering. And so the list that, if you scroll down a bit more, DJ, the list of things that are being asked, so again, you can see it's not finished, but I was like, you all put in some things, here's some language. That bulleted list of asks would be like the university really examined kind of the feasibility of putting some of these things in place. Some of these things are already in place, but some of them aren't. And so these would be employer-sponsored benefits that come to it. So when you talk about kind of the things that you've all been mentioning all the while on here, so people having the opportunity to be able to take leave time and or not, being able to take leave time to deal with particular things. Would it, if we have particular mediation services available on campus, that actually helps employees to not have to leave their jobs and worry about all types of other things and child care assistance, things like that. Also thinking about, there is a financial counselor that's available on campus, that's available to faculty and staff folks that a lot of people don't know about. but it's putting that in an easily accessible place, all in one thing, so people know if you're going through this particular thing or some sort of life change, here's where you can go. So it's not really just for marital status, but it is for just life changes in general. But I think the spur of it was really a lot of the marital status changes that were looked at. So the ask is that you all were asking the university to put, or really HR, to put this in one place on the website that would make it easy for people to find.
So I want to backtrack from that a little bit and kind of let questions open up. So as you explained, everything that he was mentioning, kind of the reason behind it, those are the whereas clauses that we have here too. So I'm going to read these out so we're all on the same page. Whereas the university strives to support its employees by providing well-paid resources and services to encourage and enhance work-life balance. Whereas the 2011 employee survey found that 27.2% of respondents felt neutral in the response to that statement. The university provides support to help staff balance work and personal responsibilities, with another 10.4% disagreeing or strongly disagreeing. And whereas the 2011 employee survey further revealed that 20.9% of respondents felt neutral in response to the statement, I can easily find reliable information considering the policies and benefits that apply to me, with another 12.4% disagreeing or strongly disagreeing. So again, the whereas clauses are kind of the reasoning why this resolution is being brought forth, and we will explain there. And as you mentioned too, it's a little bit of work in progress. There's some other things that we can do. After we set up the whereas clauses, or about any questions about whereas clauses, reasoning, if that makes sense, great. All right, I feel like I'm
going
to then we'll move into the therefore resolved part. And then this is kind of the action. So this is what we would like to see happen. We're seeing that things change, those kinds of things. So we have so far, be it therefore resolved, the university, led by the Division of Human Resources and Safety Services,
which is now just HR, yeah.
Yep. Conduct an assessment of resources currently available to assist employees in times of life-changing events, including counseling, legal services, and financial planning. So again, it's a very succinct statement of what we'd like to see happen. Be it therefore resolved, the university examine the feasibility of providing all benefits and services, if all not already available, for all benefits eligible. And then the final resolution, be it so resolved, the Division of Human Resources and Safety Services update applicable web pages to include an easily accessible list of outlining resources, benefits, and support services available to employees or students experiencing divorce, including state and local resources. And so the one thing I would say here as well too is that it's sometimes good practice as well to have some kind of timeline for when you see things happen or follow up.
I mean, just for that, like, that's not that much. Usually the last resolve clause is be it finally resolved so that the resolution, which are all the resolve clauses, is actually done.
Right. Okay. So I think the format that we've been looking at, or I've been looking at, one of the things that has been really frustrating over the years in looking at a lot of resolutions and then getting the responses back a lot of times is oftentimes resolutions don't come with a timeline. They're not directed at a particular entity or individual or office, for that matter, to actually handle the business. So it's hard. It's like, whose responsibility actually is it to do this? And then it gets punted, and it never comes back to the right place. And the ask isn't always as clear as it wants to be at the timeline. It's really important. So, and then the thing I've been really trying to add to every resolution we've been doing is the communication piece.
Yeah.
So it's like, after this gets in place, how is it going to be communicated out to people that this has happened? So we've really been turning to kind of the website that we have already in place so that we're not recreating fields, we're not recreating different things to say, just update the show page wherever it exists to put it there so that you can know. If a notification needs to go out, I hope you all got the notification about the gender identity, sexual orientation piece from HR the other day. Yeah. Good job, guys. Good job. Thanks for that. So it's like, if something like that happens, we want to make sure that a notification goes out to people that need to go through. So that was a big deal. So that was all you all for, by the way. Good job. Kudos to you all for that.
Thank you.
go to other countries and submit extra chances.
Did you want to respond to that question about how things are transmitted?
Yeah, so in terms of transmission, whenever a resolution is either passed, not passed, whatever the decision is, there's a listserv. So I action the full title. The action. And then I would submit what the decision is.
To the president. Actually, resolutions that are passed by this body, that's the action. If the resolution isn't passed, it's not. And so the things that are part of the public record of this assembly are the resolutions that it passed and the action that it passed. All resolutions that this body passes, the chair would submit to the president for response. The president would respond in any number of ways, but that's the, so all resolutions that the EPA has to be designated to the president. It would also go to the president for human resources, but the response would come from the president.
Well, HR is actually engaged now in a major revision of its website. It's a huge undertaking, and perhaps there's a committee, whether it's policy committee or benefits or whatever, that might want to engage and find out what's happening. So I think the sentiment behind this is well appreciated, that there should be a way to find things like this more readily, you know, if not all in one place, but some master way to locate this. And so, and some of these things, as you mentioned, already offered.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice would be maybe to find a way to communicate to that process so that it would not be considered some sort of, especially people in distress, people in crisis mode, should there be, you know, some sort of special way to access that? And then the context, which obviously we've been talking all about, I don't know that I would recommend having things on there that already exist. One should be more thoughtful about the things that we can find that out. It's not that easy necessarily. Some of those things I recognize as existing, or even I recognize that. But there are people with more global knowledge of these things that could kick that off.
And so I think I'm going to respond to that, and Jeremy, and then back to Mikhail. I think that's why these official things are helpful for us just organize ourselves and figure out where we are. So at least through these offices that have these, there's some kind of track record of where we are. Because again, I think right now we want to work with these offices. This isn't meant as like a punitive thing, which sometimes I think people see these resolutions as, oh, we're punishing this department. It's not that at all. It's a way for us to officially track where we are and how we're going through this process so things don't get lost. Because I've seen that happen here before where, oh yeah, that's in a committee, they're going to work with that, and then things somehow get lost. Whereas if there's a resolution that's passed that wants to see these things happen, you can at least see where the stages are. So both the EA and the relevant campus departments kind of have the same page that they're looking for as well. Jeremy and then I'll get
it. I have two pieces really. The first is, while I agree with not including things where it exists, I think part of the purpose of this is having a central location for all of these things. So even if they do exist, we need to have a central repository where we can find them all.
Right.
I think that's part of the purpose for this as well. The other thing I think as an employee assembly is, in part, should be our responsibility and our effort to find out when these things are at and get them communicated out to the employees. I mean, that's kind of what we're key, right? We're collecting this data. We should be finding these resources for employees, helping the organization to create them, centralize them, so that we can effectively communicate that out to those resources now. So I think we should be definitely taking a hand in that communication.
Great. Thank you. Mikhail, then.
One way easily to do that is to mark out a whereas statement. So you could say, whereas these resources already exist, mm-hmm. sort of show that you've done due diligence of looking and figuring those out. And you could point out And then also, I'm sure there's research about how employees and faculty, you know, or employees that are supported through life change perform better.
Sure. So one was, like I said, we did did a lot of benchmark reading, just the corporate stuff, just to see what kind of employer sponsored benefits were available out there, what were best practices, what things, you know, where do things already kind of exist disparately across this institution, and that's how you kind of figure out, wow, this is not central at all, and just to figure that out. Jennifer Loeb has also been really helpful with this, so she's actually kind of leading the website design for HR, so she's been very helpful in just kind of discussing, you know, wow, this is a really good idea, here's the mock-up for the website and the kind of the site mapping that we're looking at. So that's a good point person to kind of talk to for this going forward. I think, I guess the way I'm doing this is I'm just giving you a framework and some thoughts on people that are organized in resolution form, not necessarily the resolution that you're going to vote on and put forth. It might be this, but I think this, the point is that somebody has brought this to your attention, now you as an assembly work on it. So that means you all are going to be the ones that are tasked. The same way the other assemblies, are you all the ones that are going to meet in your committees or going to meet individually with other particular folks across the institution and figure out those gaps to refine the ask so that you don't refine the rare clauses or whatever the final resolve clause and then present a finished product there. I think your resolutions are your tool. I think that's your communication piece. And though some people might take it as a punitive measure or as, oh my God, these people don't think we're doing our job, I think at the end of the day, that's your official communication to say, we've done our research, we've done everything, and we want to make sure this is in writing so you know that this is what we asked for and that we have an expectation to see it through it. So, and I think people are looking for that from this assembly in particular.
This is something that we have directly addressed in the education subcommittee of this. They wanted a central portal for the educational benefits that are available to employees, separated out to the children's tuition scholarship and graduate studies and so on and so forth, because everything was so mishmash on the human resources website that you had difficulty getting to the channel.
So do we wait until the new website is launched and then come fault with it, or is there a way that we can be involved with the process of HR developing the website?
That's just
an open question. And we did meet with HR representatives that felt like we were trusting them that they weren't making the information available, and their instant reply is all the open houses and employee educational things that we have. You know, with us, we aren't allowed to get down there a lot of times and back, so they do have an hour and a half program up at the veterinary college and so on. That was their rebuttal as far as, you know, we do try to make everything available to you, and if the employee is willing to do this, you know, be available at that time. You know, this is what we're doing. And to Geneva as well, because there were questions about Geneva not getting a lot of information. And then another response was wait for the website to launch to be better.
So I saw three hands. I'm going to reply, and then Mikhail, and Jeremy. I think it's a little bit of both, right? Mm-hmm. So we can't predict, like, an assembly can't always be super proactive. We just don't know what's going to happen sometimes, but sometimes we will be reactive to a change that's made. But I think, to a certain extent, we can be very proactive in some of the things we'll do. You know that, hey, these things are disorganized from our perspective. How can we work with the education office to help make these things happen? And then I think offering it to them, too, as we'd like to see this as a resolution, which is a communications vehicle to say, can you work with us on this resolution so we can see what things need to happen? So it's part of that communication piece. Mikhail?
I think what I was
going
to say, it's either a really successful resolution to work with, to make sure that it goes directly affected by the resolution so that when it's communicated, so when the president here even comes to the HR and say, okay, what are you doing about this? They would say, well, we co-sponsored or they sponsored the resolution, you know, their name already on it, they're in the know, they have the direct response, these are things that we already offered, we're working on it, we're designing on it, you know, and then they look amazing. You know, it's so a good, and it's not a surprise. And so that's going to look really good for both of us in that way and make that really successful moving forward and make a win for everybody.
So this came to mind what the graduate student body did. The grad students and professional students have said the same thing. You know, the institution doesn't care, we don't have this, we don't have that. And when that came to them, I think they got into like committees and focus groups. Just the effort was with the GPSA to do that. And they came up with all these things. They spoke with grad students on campus, off campus, and all of that, and put that together to get the community initiative. And that way, when they did the resolution and presented it, then it went back to the graduate school. And now, a lot of the things they asked for, even personally looking at this, a lot of things we have already, they were talking about a centralized site. And so that was one of the big asks. So that was actually a low-hanging fruit for the institution that we can do right away. And the point of this is that some departments do it, some do not do it. And being able to bring this together, again, being in touch with those doing the website now, so that then we can have a central place to do it, and at the same time, those that already have can direct traffic to this central place.
Jeremy,
you
know
what
I call it for myself? One of the things that when I'm developing a site that always comes up is user impact, and that's towards the end, where you start to talk about the analysis. Then we're helping them volunteer ourselves to be part of that. And again, it promotes that really helpful, not punitive.
Can we do a quick resolution to
ask? There you go. There you go.
And who is the website developer? Did you mention?
Jennifer Lowe.
Okay.
L-O-B.
Hey, Gina.
One of the things that may be helpful for all of us is as a resolution comes, having the chair of the exec invite the stakeholders to a meeting never going to, it's much better if it's not a surprise to the stakeholders. So that's a great way to do that. And everybody's enhanced when you have somebody who's coming to talk about something, whether it's something controversial or something that's informative. But that's a great way to make sure that as the time is concerned that, you know, you're not putting the cart before the horse, you move the cart and the horse together.
And on that note, I'd like to move to the next one. So the point of these is we're not necessarily discussing these in depth today. It's really just to say, here's the project for you all to work on, and look at all the great ideas that you all just mentioned. So now you can go forth and do that throughout the course of until between now and your next meeting. But on that note that Gina just mentioned, the next two resolutions are that would be the next logical move for these next ones. So it doesn't matter which one you choose. It's all it's one of them. What is this one? Okay. So this one, I know. I have a bias meeting at one, so I'm kind of like, move this along. I'm going to cut it close. So this resolution, these next two resolutions are pretty LGBT specific. So again, kudos to you all. As you might remember, at your first meeting, Brian and I brought forth the piece on the workday changes that were going on. And the whole point of that, again, was to one, test and see where the president was on all of this, trying to lay out the land. But it's also to really kind of start bringing up in mind new federal regulations and some other best practices that are there. So now that we understand a lot of this and we've had a lot of movement behind this, we're moving on to a lot of the next few phases. And so the next one would be kind of data collection on the front end of things in the actual employment application process. So the essay and the GPSA, I believe, the GPSA is working on it, but the essay has already passed a resolution about getting these questions on the admissions application so they can start collecting data in an effort to really, one, be able to measure persistence and retention for both employees and students and get new data on new fronts, and then also really to better be able to allocate resources in different ways. So we need to start rethinking the way we're allocating resources now that we understand the demographics are changing and that people are identifying in different ways. That's a thought process to think about. So in doing this, basically, again, it's the same content follows of your whereas clauses or your statement of facts, and we're talking about the court cases that have come down, different initiatives that have been put in place, and then figuring out, it's just kind of like our last point of data collection was the employee survey, where people in 2011, where people were actually able to self-identify as LGBT in some way or shape or form. And so that's 8.2% of current staff that identify in that way. It's a lot of people. When you think about it in the grand scheme of things. It is clearly much more than that now at this point, especially now that overall a lot more people are much more comfortable self-identifying because policies have changed. And social context has changed. But if you get down to the actual resolve problems, so those are the more, I guess, the really important stuff. It's really what things are on kind of the EEO supplement. So if you go back to the day when you first applied for your job at Cornell, you got to the EEO supplement that asks you about your race, ethnicity, your gender, things like that, or legal sex in this case that they were asking to see where you things you and it's the voluntary portion. You don't have to fill it out. It's kind of a voluntary piece to see what the demographics are. So that's basically what this is asking. Really, to just put in two additional questions. One question is focused on sexual orientation, one is focused on gender identity, and the categories or the labels that are put there, of course, are going to be fluid over time, but these are from the consortium. There's a consortium, an LGBT consortium, that is best clearly, like, that's the current best practice list that's out there right now. So that, and it is identical to what the undergraduate support, also the GPSA is also looking at. So in order to facilitate this discussion, it might be worth at least for the UA perspective, it's worth having a discussion for bringing in folks from undergraduate admissions office, from Johnson Law and Tech, who already have this on their admissions applications, to understand what the benefits have been for them thus far and maybe their process for getting that on. You're also clearly going to need somebody from the employment side of things, people who process applications on a regular basis, maybe even married. We've actually talked about this, and we were talking about the workday stuff briefly. And, you know, her mindset is that she wants to make sure that when we do this, she wants to go about doing it, but to do it in a way that is very thoughtful, and so that it doesn't just seem to people when this happens that we're just doing it to meet some compliance regulation, because we're not. It's really just we want to be a lot more thoughtful about our population. And so that's, you know, maybe that's another person to bring in to think about this. Caveat to that is though it may be difficult, as an assembly, no assembly's job is to bend to the will of an administrator or any piece of administration. You're advocating for your constituency. So sometimes you're not always going to agree with upper administration on everything. So the UA resolution on bathrooms yesterday, we definitely did not agree with the folks we've been working with this whole time in IPP on the timeline. It was not something we agreed on. But everything else we managed to get for. But we talked about it in the conversation that we had, and you know, the ultimate decision is going to be up to the president. So that's kind of what this is. So I think between this one and if you want to do the next one at the same time, and you all can discuss them, because that's how to book it. But inviting folks again for this the benefit.
I have to remember.
So I know Tanya is for both for this one and the last one. Tanya has been in some conversations with a couple other people, so it might be very beneficial when we're talking about family planning benefits. And refining the ask again, that this initial, the resolution initially was focused again on the LGBT population and kind of looking at benefits that were gendered currently, so whether or not things like male couple could take advantage of particular fertility treatments and such benefits when they were looking at family creation and family planning that were available to women. So there were things like that were there. But there's some other things too, but I know Tanya's been in conversations with Paul Bursick and other folks in benefits. That's the person to invite to this meeting. So if everybody is well versed and has a great fruitful conversation on how benefits are selected, what things, you know, what the give and take is on these things, who has access currently and where there are gaps. So then you can refine the ask that is currently in this resolution. Because the ask that is in here is not the best ask that it is. It's just kind of what we immediately thought of when we were looking at a very specific population. Your job is to really think about how can we apply this to all employees, and so that might be the thing. But to Dina's point again, like making sure you invite the correct stakeholders into the room so that you all are well informed in making that decision is kind of what we're looking for. So this is the issue we're bringing to you. We're looking for your guidance and your help in facilitating these conversations. We can't really do it on our own. That's what I have. But I'm happy to help continue answering questions via email, or you know, if you want to meet, we can talk about these and figure out what things to do. But I really look forward to giving these projects, but you all going forward. I think your first resolution, we've gotten a lot of good responses once the notification was sent out to ECNG and to other groups about the workday changes. We got a lot of great feedback. Like, wow, really happy this is happening. And that's all because you all passed it and spurred it, got it on the president's radar, and she gave a pretty quick directive to put that in place by December. And that's what happened. So, and that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Gina.
Before you listen, I want to clarify part of the process is, as you very well pointed out, these were some issues that as a constituent member of the employee community we brought forth to the EPA. Typically, and so you all have constituencies to which you represent, if you bring something forward, it would be, the resolution would have to be sponsored by somebody on the EPA, but you could very well partner with the person who brought it forth. So, I just don't want it to seem like, you know, here you go. The person who has the interest and the initiative and the concern has a stake in this as well. So partner where possible. And that's a strong advocate. The person who's bringing forth the concern is probably going to be the most vocal proponent for making sure that the resolution gets passed. But you want to make sure that there are those partnerships. It's not really just, you know, picking up, bringing them in and then trying to figure out ways to go. There are a lot of resources and support ways. And if anybody has any questions on how to process any of that, I'm happy to be a resource as well. And I'm going to take that comment.
So what I want to do next is kind of show you, because I think part of this as well is getting on our agenda here. We have that time. One of the first things I mentioned when I was the chair was that this is going to be a legit show. It's going to be everyone else. What do we all do because we all ran to the EA for some particular reason. So in terms of figuring out the agenda, I will admit that I have not been the most organized in terms of getting the agenda out. But I want to go over what the philosophy So all of our EA files, I'm trying to put together in this shared drive called Cornell Fox. Connected by an ID, so cornell.apps.fox.com. Email is up. You log in with an ID.
So we had around,
could you get a
Sophia, could you give a little background on what it's related to?
So, for everybody who's been at the university since the new president's coming, you probably saw her original streamlining memo about creating more efficiency, which kind of made some people really nervous, all kinds of things like that. But several departments or units have put out a call to employees to say, hey, if you still have a streamlining initiative that you would like to us to consider or to look at, what is it? So write what you think it should be, and those different divisions are pulling their data together specific and saying, here are all the people that have. Has anybody done that? I know HR did, communications did. Did anybody else? It would have been like a three-question survey saying, what saves time, what saves money, what saves.
Which is why we sent it out to the entire staff list to this as well.
We sent it out to the entire staff. So earlier in the semester, DJ and Greg met with two workers and Jeff Hunteka and talked about how can we as the employee assembly kind of collectively look at the university and get their feedback on what they think are the best feedback. So we sent that out last week before.
Excuse
and
me.
We got a few responses. They did about 73 people who wrote in some responses. Some of them happened to be to them. Some of them are bring back a 50-50 raffle and that's like, I don't know why that's anyway. So that's, you know, a thought. You know, I think it's something that we can pass along. I don't know if that's a dream line. So what I did was I went through and I tried to break them out by kind of area. So we got one for alumni career development. I guess more about people location, so where they're located. And that's a big thing that we talked about. Just think about the learning process. So for those of you who haven't, part of the streamlining is obviously public contact. We try to identify multiple people maintaining files on team donors, things like that. So this is something that we want to let them together to say, is there one repository for files? Is there, can we move your office and get to the same location? So, you know, it's, you know, like all of that colleges is going to the same area. Why do you look at that? That was on the study that has that one application. So they're looking at something that that they would want to make that to their area. We did get a few that talked through CIT and their specific work, like developing systems. And they talk it through the new budget model. So why departments who have money get resources from CIT, departments who don't have money. So that might be something that we may want to add into a little bit. A lot about communication. So one of them, you know, I mean, we just talked about that we don't really communicate well. Programs that we have at the university offer options for staff to do that. And another thing that a person here talked about is campus-wide mailing. So if any of you have ever said, hey, how can you get all this information about Cochrane and I don't get it, right? Some of us are on the Cochrane Slack, but some of us aren't going to sign up for that email. So there's no centralized repository for we're all going to sign up for. I want the full building list. I want the this list. I want the that list. So that to me is a really campus-wide broad initiative that the PA could potentially have some impact on saying, hey, this is something that you should look at, all the and then someone put out an event planning process, so a centralized on-site event process. So one centralized office, so to reserve rooms to make reservations. How many times have you had to book a meeting here on campus and you're like, I don't have permission to book guests, that I'm also not available for that. So that might be one that we would want to forward up to the president as something that would have big impact for staff.
The option to...
If somebody wanted to make an arrangement with their department, they could ask for that, correct?
Can you use the workers?
What is that? That's a very good, that's a compassionate person.
So a very passionate person talking about the fact that, and I think gets to some of the issues that we see in the department with putting faculty in Manitoba.
we'll host these in the secure box. So again, you don't just distribute this widely, but it's just for your use. You can read these in more detail later. So.
And there are additional components to this. So for folks who submitted, they also submitted additional information on how we can use financially, time wise. Comes down to, the meat in this is what I say is, are we as a university equipping faculty members appropriately to take on a chairmanship role that is a very management role? Not that that's, I don't think, our private private service, but they put it there.
What do you see as some of the, you mentioned the financial components. I saw a lot of facilities. What are the other main groupings where you see at least
tens or whatever? So there's a couple of transportation items. One of them is a really easy one, and I think we should lob it out there because I don't know why they don't do it, but somebody threw out, why are our students renewing every year? Because they go on a 2-year cycle. The university knows if you're no longer an employee and payroll has to, transportation has a negative once you get no longer active.
one that someone talked about, you know, the schedule here, which is a waste on student time, it's also a waste on staff members' time if we're having senior students back and forth on the process. So that might be one that we might want to encourage conversation about. And I can tell you from doing building process improvement, there are several areas of campus who are looking at how they do student credit and their services, career services, teaching things like that, because there are some problems and they're already trying to make some of that better. So, I mean, the student one, I think, is a good one because, again, it gets a lot of, you know, quite a bit of employees who are also like their academic student experience. Lots of stuff on training, cross training with people in scenarios, making sure that it's consistent training for employees.
I kind of followed with what you were saying too, how some of these are seen as doable. How many of the responses that you got do you think are things that are feasible to do? And I guess another question is then, how many are things that you think we've already done that people just don't know about?
So there are a few things that pockets of campus have done that I think we as an organizational and workforce development can work with the EA and say, hey, we got these responses from you, and here are some things that tie into what you're asking for that is different pockets of campus stuff. So we can communicate that with them and really get that word out. So I think that would be a nice partnership. So that's kind of the sweet thing. Some of the easily doable ones, like the transportation question, I'd say, you know, we go to transportation and ask questions. I think they may have a very valid reason for being a one per thing. But I mean, I think there are some ways that we can ask that question. I love the idea. I think if we were to throw anything up to the president's office, it's the campus-wide scheduling, because I think that would have a huge impact for staff. And then the other one right up at the beginning. The communication, the selection, and how people can find information. I think those are two really big, overarching, campus-wide initiatives that would make a big impact on staff.
So the same way you looked and thought some things are really easy or important, can we get time to maybe all of us look and maybe everyone pick what stood out the most for them, like the number one, and then maybe discuss as a group?
Absolutely. I mean, I'll prefer to start with the
No, so that's exactly what I'm starting to talk about next. So as I just wanted time to provide like the overview of it since she has been looking at the data and kind of the responses. So what I'd like to do, and again, as we mentioned, it's a good practice to partner, to do all those things with departments. If you want to send me looking at these things, again, I think it's three things. So look for A, things that you think are like, this person's just really angry, and that's great. You've got a chance to vent. We'll kind of move on to what we can be. What can we do? So that's the second one is what are things that are actionable that you think, oh, I do work in this department. That's something that we could totally fix. Didn't even know I didn't think about that, so that's an actionable item. And then the third one is items that you and your work as a staff member know that, oh, we already do this, and as Tanya mentioned, it just hasn't been communicated out for some reason, and so we just need to do a better job of communicating that out. So just looking at those last two things, what do you think is feasible, and what do you think is something that you know from your own work as a staff member is already happening, we could just communicate that better. If we can get those to me, I want to meet with Mary. So we have a meeting with Vice President Opperman on the 18th, that's my next scheduled meeting with her, and potentially Tanya, if you want to just come, we can talk about the survey results then too. So if folks can get me their ideas for that by, let's say, today is the first, so let's say next week, Wednesday, that's kind of 5 days to read over. How many responses were there total?
There's 74 in the
file. Okay. So let's say a week's time. I'll say Thursday. So next week, Thursday, and I'll put that out in the email I send out after this with the box link as well, too. I think it's a consultant. So the stepping a little bit backward in time here too, we were thinking about just releasing the survey as well, and that's when Vice President Offerman suggested that we work with Kathy and their office because they were doing something similar. So in the interest of not duplicating upon duplicating, let's work with the folks who are sending something out to HR so it's either similar, not conflicting in that sense as well. So we have been consulting with them too. I would say that my understanding with them, and I'll clarify with them too, is that this is kind of, it is our project, and that they just helped us administer the Qualtrics and kind of distribute that. And again, that's when Tanya stepped on board because it was part of a rotation or whatever that might be. But I think it is an EA thing. It's just this office is helping us with the mechanics of it since they had already done something in that sense as well, too. So I would say let's the EA review it, and then I think we can share the results with them too. I don't think they're going to do anything, and we'll be clear about that too. Please don't necessarily spread this widely as we figure out what to do with just the data itself. Yeah. I appreciate it. So, yeah, so I think as a good clarification point, this is an EA project with EA data that other departments are consulting with us, too, because I think that's happened with the survey. I wasn't sure who owns what, but we'll clarify that when we go with them. Questions for Tanya? Survey, I think?
Recommend, I saw a lot of Michael's personal information there, so maybe he's not to be safe. I'll say anyway, I'd not be in favor of the release of this more than the few people that need to know about it. There's some things that are just plain process and that's fine, but there's a lot of personally identifiable information there that should not be shared.
Could I ask, Tanya, since you've looked at it, could you potentially kind of screen some of those out and let's cut as much of that as we can and then add that caveat that if you do look at this, that's what we're going to keep it in box, so again, it's protected by the access that we only allow EA members to access that. View it all in there, too, so just keep that secure. So, thanks, Bill. All right, thank you. The last thing we had here, and this will be shorter, again, we've introduced Liz, filling out vacancy, and then again, looking at our bylaws and procedures now that we do not have an executive vice chair. At our next election, our next meeting, we'll hold an election for the executive vice chair. So again, the executive vice chair works for me. They actually help set the agenda for each of our meetings and then kind of helps us move this ship forward as well, too. So if you have questions about the position itself, come talk to me, come talk to the office. I think you can probably email Greg, too. He's not here, but I'll speak for him on that one. He's happy to kind of chat what that's about, too. But that election will then be at our next meeting, so we can fill that position and kind of move forward going to the next semester. So any questions about that at all?
Do you nominate people?
Yep. So you'd nominate folks. It's just like how we've done elections in the past. It's a nominee. It's kind of like how we had our orientation meeting at the beginning of the summer where someone is nominated either ahead of time or at that meeting itself, and then an election is conducted at that meeting.
Yep,
sure. So the executive committee pretty much meets on opposite meetings of the general body. So if we meet the first and the third, the exec meets on the second and the fourth, typically around this lunch period. I think I'll send another doodle poll just to confirm, but we should have been meeting the same time. So I'm trying to do one in-person meeting and then one just kind of phone call as well, and they last, 45 minutes, depending on how long the items are. But again, I try and be as tight as possible in terms of sending out meeting minutes ahead of time or meeting materials ahead of time and then just making sure that we stay on point with that too. So that's the standard meeting in that sense. Other questions? What's that? Oh, yeah. That's just, I'm bringing this back as well, too. So, all right, if there's no other questions, I'll entertain a motion to close the meeting. All right, second. Good. Any dissent to closing the meeting? All right, well, we'll close. Thanks, everyone.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.